All right, family, our first live stream of 2026, PA Big Rob inside the Driving Five. And our first guest is, we are honored to have him. We start off big. We start off at the top, you know what I mean?
Big time. Had to roll out the red carpet, get the pylons up so people wouldn't rush him.
Y'all was wondering why the helicopter was over here.
Oh, flying. They still flying over, don't you hear?
You start real slow. And then y'all just going to pick up momentum as the year goes along. It can't get no worse than this.
Nah, it don't get no better than this, baby.
Can't get no better.
Represent Reardon Street in Muskegon Heights. Honorable Judge Gregory C. Pittman is in the building. Good to see you, Judge.
PA. It is always good always to see good you, bro. To see you, Rob.
Robert.
I'm gonna say I get a Rob.
You still Rob. So yesterday you had the honor of swearing in the new commission and also swearing in the youngest city commissioner in the history of Muskegon, Kylie Jackson, age 23.
Yeah.
What was that like for you?
Yeah. Oh, well, it was fun. It was good. I also had not only the honor, but I had the nerve to be late.
Right? You should. That's the main event.
You're the main event.
That's how the main event do it. Yeah.
I'm supposed to be on time, man. But honestly, it just kind of sort of almost slipped my mind. I was at home taking care of some last minute things, taking Christmas down and that kind of thing.
Man, you doing it yourself?
Oh, man.
Y'all don't have the maids and stuff do that? Come on.
You
ain't got the maids doing that, Judge.
Man, listen, if this is where y'all gonna haze me, I can leave right now.
Judge is telling us he's human, so he was late.
He trying,
he was cleaning up.
He's trying to tell us that.
Yeah, right.
That's what he's trying to do. Yeah.
Very humble this year.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. So, but yeah, that was cool. That was really cool, and I've known, of course, the mayor and Commissioner St. Clair, mm-hmm. known them for years and worked with them on some things. But Kylie, Commissioner Jackson, that was really cool, man. I got a chance to meet her when she seemed to be really getting into politics a few years ago. I met her at an event that was sponsored by the Progressive Women's Caucus. And we hit it off from there and kept in touch. And I'm really excited for her. I hope this is really fulfilling for her.
Right. 23 mm-hmm. years old. Like,
and got a degree in political science.
Yeah.
Right. I think it's a bachelor's degree in political science. Right. And, you know, I was very amazed. And Tony reminded me, you know, when I saw him, that's our father for people out there listening. Jackson. Me and PA know who we're talking about. But he reminded me, y'all saw her when she was a little girl. And I'm like, yeah. Man. Yeah.
Yeah. But Judge,
proud papa.
So how was, before we get into talking about the courthouse and still politics, I know this 20 minutes is going to go fast. But how was your Christmas break?
Great.
Good.
Absolutely fantastic, man. Enjoyed myself. Stayed up late. Got up late.
And you know what he's talking about. Late is 9 o'clock.
No, man.
9 o'clock at night. He in the bed. That's late.
Right.
I'm up watching Tubi movies.
Oh, wow.
At 2 o'clock in the morning.
You watch Tubi. Netflix, Judge?
I do.
What about YouTube?
Well, I have YouTube TV.
YouTube TV. Oh, so you got the subscription.
I cut the cord.
Ah.
Cut the cord, man. Man, we were paying close to almost $500 a month for cable and all that stuff.
Y'all got 20 TVs, Judge?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
You're talking to the judge. You know he got more than one TV.
Oh, it's going
to
get some TV watching.
Every room.
Bathroom got a mirror TV.
Absolutely.
You seen the mirror TVs?
He got one.
Yeah.
The TV got a TV.
TV in the master closet. What are you talking about?
Everybody don't have a TV in the master closet.
Wow. Well, that's good. So you really enjoyed yourself relaxing.
I did, man. Enjoyed my family. My kids came home for, you know, a few days. Yeah. Good time. How about you guys? How about yours? Good Christmas? Good holiday?
I guess if Christmas holiday, I was stuck here and I caught flu coming back. But I celebrated early December, I went to South America and did three countries, Colombia, Panama, and Aruba. I came back here, I think, around the 20th, something like that, and messed around 2 days later. I had the flu. I was already in isolation and didn't know. So first time ever having it. So I was stuck inside the house for like a week just to make sure I was okay. My symptoms was only a couple of days. Mm-hmm. You have some lingering effects from the flu, and I just want to make sure I was good before I got back out here.
That's the right thing to do.
I was inside for like a week.
You see how casually he dropped the idea that he was in Colombia.
Not in Medellin.
I was going to put that out there. You know. I didn't go to Medellin.
Why didn't you go to Medellin?
I know why they go to Medellin.
What, can you express that to the viewers? Why?
I'm not trying to hate right now.
you should have stopped in Venezuela and tighten your homeboy Maduro.
You should have.
What I found out, because I did a lot of interviews. I'm working on a documentary. And okay. So I did some interviews in these places. Venezuela's not getting any love in that area.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, in Aruba, they like, if you from Venezuela, you don't even get a visa to go to Aruba.
Wow.
And really? That's 20 miles off the coast.
Wow.
So I don't agree with Trump on a lot of stuff. And I think he's past his time. But this Venezuela thing was probably the right thing for that reason. Not running the country.
Yeah.
No, I don't know about all that.
Well, and I'm not going to get too deep into the politics. That's one of my New Year's resolutions. I'm out of politics completely. but you know, the potential and the resources that a country like Venezuela possesses versus the standard of living that the average Venezuelan gets to live, it was criminal.
Right.
It is criminal that people are so impoverished in that country. And, you know, something need to be done. I don't know if this was it.
Right. Right.
But that's why you see Venezuelans everywhere.
Yeah.
Celebrating. And they're celebrating, you know.
A lot of them was in Colombia, too.
Yeah.
I got to get some beautiful, beautiful women. You know what I mean? I got to give them some props. You can't say that.
I don't know nothing about that.
Yeah, you can't say that. Rob can't say that. Beautiful women.
I don't know nothing about that.
Nothing about that.
I don't even want to know.
Brothers, then I guess we can say that.
Right? No, don't even say that, bro.
I don't even want to know that
because that insinuates some things.
No, you can say that without.
Next thing you gonna say, you were in the penitentiary, right? You remember your penitentiary.
Most beautiful day. Woman on earth is at 284 West Clay Avenue. she can go up against anybody.
Top notch.
Top show.
Judge, when this young girl was killed by her adopted mom, did you have that case?
Some of these cases kind of move from hand to hand or from judge to judge, case redistributions and that kind of thing. I think that case was another, I'm pretty certain that was another judge's, another one of the family court judges case. I signed some orders subsequent to this tragic death of this child, but and maybe the case is now mine through those redistributions, but I didn't have anything to do with the placement of these children with
and the funeral and all that stuff.
Nah.
Yeah, that was I think Muskegon learned a lot during this whole thing, even though you've been talking about it for years with us on radio.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about rights and parental rights. You talked about adoption. Mm-hmm. I think we learned a lot. Like, you really don't have a lot of rights.
Well, you know, the basic standard is supposed to be what serves the best interest of the child. And that is an incredibly, I don't know, arbitrary kind of a standard. How do you put your arms around the concept of what serves the best interest of a child in comparison to the constitutional right of a parent to be able to parent their child against, again, the comparison or the backdrop of courts being compelled to act as social engineers. And what I mean by that is, you know, the case comes to me, kid goes to another place, another home, that home is infinitely better able to provide for that child. But then I become a social engineer if I'm just making the choice that, well, that child's just going to stay there just because it's a better home for them, versus the inherent right that a person has to be a part of the family to which they were born. Mm. You know,
right.
There's some really difficult transitions in logic, concept, theory that have to be traversed in order to hopefully come to the right, you know, to the right balance for that child. Because here's what's happening. You see it all the time. Kid is being treated badly in a place with their parents. They go to a different place, and clearly that level of treatment is just 180 degrees different. But who am I if this parent takes the time, does the work, does what's been asked of them to do, to say, even though this child is in a really, really, really great place, I'm going to deny this parent and this child their right to be together because I think this is a better place than that. Wow. Now, that's a lot of people, you know, he should have left them kids with soldiers. No, that's not the standard.
Right. Is that like part of the adoption process? Is that a part of the adoption process?
Well, you know, adoption is really not a option until the court terminates parental rights.
Okay.
So you can't start an adoption until there are no longer parents who have rights to that child.
Mm. And so if the parents don't have rights, do that mean that the grandparents and don't have any rights either?
Under certain circumstances, the Michigan legislature has created opportunities for grandparents to have some rights to the child. But based on the question you asked, I would say the general and probably basic answer is that once the parental rights are terminated, the extended family rights, if you will, are terminated.
Wow. Was it like that with you, Rob, in your situation?
Oh, yeah. Wow. It was definitely like that. I just wish whoever has got to do it, courts, legislators, whatever, I wish they would, when that child gets of age, that they would release the files on that, the records. Mm-hmm. What I've been finding out, even though I'm weeks away from being 58, I still want to know, what did they see and what did they think to terminate my parents' rights? Mm-hmm. Well, back in those days, so
you don't know those things.
No, I know because I experienced some of the stuff, but I want to know if my memory is correct. You know, basically. And a lot of times when I talk to adopted people, even if they're my age or younger or whatever and stuff, that's the thing they want to see. But they make it so hard if they sealed the records to get those records, because I've tried to get my records. And it is so...
It's not easy.
It's so difficult, and it will cost you a lot of money and time to even get a glimpse.
Yeah, it is really not easy. But as you all can appreciate over the years that we've just sat here and conversed about the law, there's two sides to that coin. There is a person like you and others who have the very legitimate desire to understand what's happening. And what has happened in the evolution, in the etymology of their life, in the evolution of their life. But then there are those who have really, really bad motives, who are seeking that information because they want to do something that is going to be a bad situation for the people who are involved. So that's why that process, it exists, which is the right thing. There should be a process by which those types of understandings, the records, can be accessed and examined. But it's got to be, you got to jump the hoops to get there.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah. Well, online, I think it's Mark Sharice. Coffee Larkin said, I totally agree with Rob.
Yeah. So,
and you know,
the difficulty is to, that you have to take into account as many scenarios as you possibly can before you create a law.
My parents are dead. My biological parents are both dead. My father's been dead since the 80s. My mother's was, you know, did what she did, and she has been gone since the 90s. Mm-hmm. Okay. What would be the problem in me seeing the reason why? Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? Or I seeing.
Fully, listen, not only know, do I understand it, I empathize with what you're saying. And if it's me just speaking personally, I would love for you to be able to get that, because I know the character and integrity and the motive that you bring, mm-hmm. because I know you.
Yes, sir.
But we don't know everybody.
Right.
And everybody doesn't come with that motive. It's amazing how you can have one law and thousands, if not millions, of different machinations on what that law should and can do.
Right.
And that's the difficulty. See, part of the question I always have about people who want to be legislators is, are they one issue type people? Are they just narrowly focused on a certain mindset, or can they widen their horizons enough to see all sides and then make a decision that makes sense? For instance, there is legislation that is being contemplated that says that it must be the law that parents have equal parenting time and custody of their children.
Mm.
On its face, doesn't that sound like it makes sense?
Yes.
Until you start to get behind the picture of who these parents are.
Right.
And then if you're stuck with this law that starts out from the beginning saying, you can't even challenge the idea that both mother and father have equal right parentage, custody, parenting time, the whole nine. And from there, you have to work. How much difficulty you can create for a child with a person who is absolutely not attuned to being a good parent to that child.
We got a lot of online comments.
Oh, okay. I had more questions. Well,
yeah, I had more. Yeah. We haven't talked.
Yeah.
We're going to end up going 30 minutes at least.
I'm
Q89.
I got it. Man, I enjoy it.
I hope you're okay with you.
Man,
All right.
I can't think of two better people.
So we go online. We got some comments coming online. Thanks, Hygory, watching down in Orlando, Florida. Michelle says she totally agreed with Big Rob, former state rep. Terry Sable said, I always appreciate Judge Pittman's knowledge and integrity. He truly cares about our community and his people. His decision may not be popular at the time, but you can be sure he has done all he can to gather all information to make his decision. Ms. Larkin said, I understand.
I appreciate that, Representative Sable. I just got a letter the other day from this guy who says, you shouldn't make a decision about anything else for the rest of your life. he ended the letter with, you've been dismissed.
You've been dismissed. So you actually read it. Oh, yeah.
You have to keep those letters or they file them somewhere?
Well, so we hang on to, we try to keep them all, but I certainly make sure that I keep a file of those that sound a little incendiary.
Mm-hmm.
Just in case I have to, engage somebody else to deal with them at some point.
Chelsea McKinney said, information should be free. No one can do harm with information. Ms. Larkin said, I adopted my daughter. Her siblings were adopted as well. The other parents wanted a closed adoption. She had no way to get their information.
There you go.
Vice Mayor. I like saying it. Vice Mayor. Destiny Keener.
Yeah. How are you doing, Vice Mayor? Saw her last night.
Yes.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
That, was such a great analogy. Mm-hmm. Angel Kuhn is overwhelming on proving that adoption from birth almost always lead to identity crisis later in life.
Mm-hmm.
What ways can we see more children stand with their families?
Yep.
That's a big question.
I would, you know what? Put me out of a job. Put me out of a job. I'm close to retirement anyway.
right.
Put me out of a job. Parents your kids. Put the pipe down.
Mm-hmm.
Put the bottle down.
Mm-hmm.
Stop getting to the club before you're, you know, and being there all night. Stop doing the things that allow the authorities to have to come into your situation. I tell anybody, man, once that gate is open, once that gate is open, you're wide open to things spinning any kind of way.
Anyway,
keep the government off your business.
Keep the government out of your business by taking care of your business.
Wow. Okay, we got a few more questions.
Yes, sir.
No, I got quite a few more.
In Nigeria, they did a report: one out of three kids are not the father of these kids.
Kids, yeah,
is not actually the person. So one out of three kids have been lied to by who their father is, and they're contemplating doing mandatory DNA testing.
Mm.
That's Nigeria. Mm-hmm. Seen a problem also in Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's an issue here in America, but only you.
It is an issue.
Sure it is.
Do you think it should be mandatory for a DNA test to be done, even if the person is married, for the kid's sake?
So what are the unintended consequences of creating a law? See, because that's what you're asking.
Right.
Should there be a law that says that when a child is born, that child and the alleged father must undergo DNA testing to confirm that that's the child?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. What kind of a genie have you let out of the bottle when you start that?
I would like to know.
Well, in this, let's just take the simple situation that it is come to the DNA testing indicates that you are not the father.
Mm-hmm.
What is that man going to do?
Be upset, mad, angry.
What is that going to result in?
Maybe a fight. Maybe the man will walk away. Maybe a murder.
Maybe this is a man who has four children with this woman. Three of them are his. This fourth one is proven not to be his. And he says, I'm out. Mm-hmm. Who's been hurt?
Yeah.
The woman and the children.
So now you've taken a situation where you've created this, you've made this government intervention. See, I fully believe in keeping the government out of your business as much as possible. You've created an avenue for the government to come in and now change the entire dynamic of your home when you all have made the conscious decision in whatever made you've made it that this is the family unit that we have.
So you think it's a bad thing?
Well, I think it, I don't say, I'm not saying the truth is never bad.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is that if you create laws that open the door for the government to have more say about what happens in your house, I don't know how that does good.
For the kid.
For the opposite of that, opposite argument of that.
Sure.
To me.
Yeah.
You already have enough cases that you got to deal with. You make fathers on certain days, right? Whether they show up or whether they don't, you make fathers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they put the government in the business and said, we're going to have Judge Gregory C. Pittman make this man a father, even if he doesn't want to be. Mm-hmm. He's going to be a father and be responsible for this child. Okay. You have that scenario.
I'm going to go back and do something to that premise that you just said.
Okay. But if that man finds out it's not his child, it takes so much to unravel that.
It takes a whole lot less than it used to. I mean,
I don't know
that. I mean, I'm well. I'm telling. I'm going to tighten you up on two things.
Okay, go ahead. I'm ready.
The first one is the government doesn't have to be a part of the creation of your child at all.
You ain't lied about that.
Am I right?
You're absolutely right.
If you and I'm speaking from the perspective as a man, if you and a woman have a pregnancy, you don't have to come to my court to have any of that legitimized. You realize that?
No, I didn't.
Absolutely. You don't have to come. Not one of Phil Pittman's, the children that Phil and Arlena Pittman had ever had to do anything down at the courthouse in 14th Circuit Court. He signed birth certificate. And he paid and took care of his kids. They stayed married. And there wasn't a judge anywhere near me or my three brothers.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same concept for everybody, whether you're married or not married. You don't have to be, there doesn't have to be a child support case. There doesn't have to be a paternity determination.
Mm-hmm.
It's called accepting the accountability and responsibility of what it is that you think you've decided to do with another person.
Mm-hmm.
That comes about. I get involved because somebody doesn't follow through and do what they should do. Dad doesn't show up and sign the birth certificate. Dad might show up, but mom has to be on some kind of state aid, which means the state says if you get an aid, we must make a determination about who this child's father is.
Mm-hmm.
Those are things that are avoidable if you decide to avoid them by doing what you need to do for yourself and your family and your situation without the involvement of the court. See, I want to kill this idea. I walk into rooms and I go into places and people point and say, "Oh man, he gonna do this, he gonna do it." I ain't gonna do nothing. I can sit in my office all day and I'm going to get paid the exact same amount. This isn't piece work like they used to do in the old foundry. You don't get paid. I don't get paid by how many fathers I create by default.
Mm-hmm.
I get paid what I'm going to get paid regardless.
Mm-hmm.
It's what you do that brings you into my courtroom, not what I do to go get you into my courtroom. That's the first thing.
So the flip side, I think, of that whole argument is that later on in life, when that kids find out that the dad that they thought they had is not their dad that raised them, that also calls a chain reaction rather than relationship.
I agree.
Harm or it's a drug use or you know there's a cause and effect to all of that.
I agree.
So how do we? And I know it's no one shoe fit all. It's how do we deal with this? Because it has become, I heard of cases of somebody needing blood from one of their kids. They got into an accident. They was getting ready to die.
Yeah.
And they said, "We need blood from somebody who has the same type as you, like your son." Well, he found out before he died that wasn't his son.
So people, let's try and kind of deal with that in the context of the second part of your question, which is
mm-hmm.
which is very much ancillary to your question, PA. It used to be very, very difficult to what I would say reverse a paternity determination.
Mm-hmm.
About 4 or 5, maybe 6 years ago, legislature created what's called the Revocation of Paternity Act. And what they did is they whittled out a whole lot of those hoops that you had to jump that probably did not give you an opportunity to even have a successful outcome. There is now a procedure that you can follow if you are the mother or the father of that child and you believe that that child is not the issue of the two of them. Issue is a legal term for a child. It's not the issue. It's not the child of that mother and father, either parent or the person who might be the outside father. the putative father. All three of them now have the opportunity to file that action in a family court.
Wow.
Now, okay. Why isn't there laws, these girls that didn't lie to these men or assumed, you know, this man like me? You know, some girl come to your
somebody court. Lies and says that you're the father and collects child support.
Right.
And then there's nothing that happens to her.
Right.
And you're asking why there isn't a law.
Isn't a law to put her away in jail for lying to the court? Because technically, you are lying to the court when you come before the court and you say Robert Roundtree is the father. You're lying to a judge. You're lying to a whole court and the judge.
What if she was mistaken?
You can't have three or four mistakes.
No. What if she was mistaken?
Still lock her up. You should have known.
Well, you lock people up now for making mistakes?
Do it all the time. I made a mistake.
No, lock people up mistakenly.
Oh.
But for making a mistake, you lock people up.
Some of these women know they
this lie. This is called what I'm giving you is the public policy arguments that have to be
argued,
taken into account when you're trying to create a good law. That's first. Second, Robert, mm-hmm. You'd be the first one picketing if the government was out saying, well, you're lying and I'm going to be able to do this to you. You would be saying, stay out of my business.
Mm-hmm.
But you want this law because you have a particular animus about the idea that a woman is able to play the system, play some guy, get money, and knows that she did mm-hmm. what she did. Well, there's a remedy. The remedy is you take her to civil court. You take her and you sue her for the fraud. Mm. You've heard of fraud, right?
Yeah, I definitely heard of fraud.
You take her to court and you sue her for fraud for the money damages that you lost.
Public humiliation.
I don't want her locked up. I can't get any money out of her if she's locked up.
So you say a civil issue.
Yeah.
Make it
a
civil.
It exists. There are men who have been successful in taking people to court because they were able to prove that it was a fraudulent determination of paternity that caused him to pay X number of dollars.
Judge, is it possible to get you back next week? I know it's kind of quick. We can do an hour. I'm going to block off a whole hour.
I got 10 more questions.
We got other guests coming up. We got can you tweet me?
Oh, man, you know, I'd be glad to.
Okay, good.
Because this helps me. This probably cuts down 3-4 cases a week for me.
So, we're going to talk about the DNA thing next week.
Yeah, we got to.
We got to finish that conversation and some other issues. Let me go down these comments because you got a bunch of comments. I'm going to make sure people's comments get heard on radio tonight. Still, what about retesting? And from Glenn's map, I've been raising my fiance daughter for 8 years. He passed away and I wanted to adopt her. Where can I find a lawyer in New Jersey? While somebody's watching on YouTube.
What I would say is that he certainly can do the adoption. He can get, mm-hmm. It would have to be agreed to by the mother, of course, and that sounds like that wouldn't be a problem. And that actually is probably it's a fairly simple process in Michigan. I won't speak on what New Jersey
law
looks
is.
Like.
Chelsea McKinley said the same system in effect that allowed Native children to be brought for $50 is the same system in place today.
Not quite.
Tonight is still
not necessarily
the damage that the government has done. And as an exclamation there that I can't interpret. Vice Mayor Keener said, in my case, I believe it's fair for children to simply know who they belong to. The relationship can be built on its own.
True facts.
Chelsea McKinney says, the judge come in, they be on.
Right. We got to try to keep up.
Yeah, got to keep up. Come on.
Felicia say, lock him up.
Yeah. Jay Kilgo, I'd be happy to help write laws to help parents here in Michigan when I get elected to the Michigan State Senate. All right.
Okay. Well, listen, this is not the forum for political commercials. And that's what that was right there.
Hey, we got a lot of people watching and listening. Yeah, I hear you, Jay.
Yeah, okay.
Felicia Garrett. locked the father up for not being in their children's lives because they put other kids ahead of their firstborn child, Lisa and Gary.
And that was going to be one of my quests.
How do you make the determination that Paul should go to prison? Should go to prison because he's not spending what amount of time? What's the standard?
Right, but what?
No. What's the standard?
I don't know. But what I do know,
if there's no standard. How does Paul know he is or is not violating the law?
Got some more comments, Judge.
Oh, okay. Chelsea McKinley,
is government overreach to DNA test people without consent?
Come on, Chelsea. Now you on my line now.
Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Have faith, not in our works, but his holy work on the cross. That's coming from YouTube.
Well, we have plenty of faith in Jesus, but Jesus ain't coming to 14th Circuit Court and sit in and make decisions and make calls about what's going on. You got to get off your tail and you got to take care of your business.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jesus would say that. He'd say it a whole lot better than I did.
Yeah, he handled it. Vice Mayor said, don't have me searching for something about truth that I'm not told. In my case, I could have possibly had a relationship with my father. Mm. My mother made choices for me that were unfair.
I heard that. I don't disagree with any of that at all.
Tonight, still, it's the government honor to be truthful when the community cannot, if they are choosing sides or not honorable, they are doing more harm than good.
Yeah.
Angel Cohen said, this is very surprising to me because it's going to cost me over $200 to file for custody, but free if I file for child support. I never knew of any other options.
Vice True Mayor, facts.
Not knowledge is power.
Vice Mayor Keener says, if a mother does not detail parental relationships due to possible harm, I get that. But if it's out of selfishness, I don't get that.
The difficulty is who makes that determination, whether it's out of selfishness or out of... No, I don't. don't look. Are you gonna give me $150,000 raise to start making that call?
If you talk to them long enough, you'll find out. They'll come clean.
But you know what? Yeah, certainly. I mean, you know, if you can interrogate people long enough, you probably will get that. But that's not what we want our courts to be about.
Cheryl Owens Nubadon says, so important to separate adult relationships with the needs of children. You are harming children.
Mm-hmm. Facts.
The new gent on YouTube says DNA tests should be mandatory. Okay, so Judge, before we go,
yes, sir.
Indiana's playing against what? Miami, right?
Mm-mm. IU is playing Oregon.
Oh, they playing? Oh yeah, Big Ten. So, are they going all the way?
Absolutely.
Were you surprised?
Completely.
At least he didn't lie. Completely. He didn't lie about it.
Look, PA, I spent 3 years at IU. I went to one football game, and that was only because it was Michigan State coming to play there.
Who'd you root for?
Oh, man, Spartan. Through.
I don't understand how you graduate. You got your law degree from IU.
Well, I got the little IU pen on the
day. But you came in Michigan State when IU gave you your law degree.
Well, I couldn't get the law degree until I got my bachelor's degree. Where'd I get that from?
Because you pledged at Michigan State. That's why you came.
Well, I'm a Spartan. I'm a Spartan who can be a Hoosier from time to time.
One last comment. I can go on, but I'm not because was once in your courtroom and I won the case because he tried to take court for full custody of my daughter and he never spent time in her life. So thank you, Felicia Garrett, for your comment. Okay, Judge.
Yeah.
We're going an hour next week.
Okay.
We can do that.
Okay.
Before I take off. I'm going to be going for a minute.
I'll commit to that.
That'd be good. That's going to be hot. Y'all be standing by. We're going to talk about all these hot button issues.
I'm going to take my suit off.
Yeah. Be casual. Bring my
t-shirt. If I use one, it's going to be an IU shirt. I guarantee
you. Hey, shout out to Michigan State and Michigan for whooping down USC. I was happy. I mean, because the coach was wrong, man. That USC coach was wrong. So I'm glad both of them beat them down. Judge, we'll see you next week.
Oh, man. Yeah, always good. A pleasure, man. Thank y'all. Thank the folks for their comments and being engaged. It's good discussion. I appreciate it.
All right, Ms. Gagan, coming up next, talking to Willie German, City Council.